WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
We need to stop these premiums from going up dramatically. We need to do it now.
You know, the only real victim here is the American people. This is so unnecessary.
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and Majority Leader John Thune point the finger of blame with 1 hour until a partial government shutdown is set to kick in after last-ditch efforts to pass short-term funding proposals from both parties failed in the U.S. Senate. CBS's Caitlin Huey Byrne says of what could take place this time.
The difference between this shutdown and shutdowns prior is that the administration has said that they're not just going to furlough workers, which means that they would be paid back later. They are urging agencies to actually go ahead and lay people off entirely.
CBS's Kelly O'Grady says Wall Street is watching.
Normally, even when you see some oscillations in the market, when a government shutdown happens, it goes away pretty quickly. We're not dealing with a debt ceiling and the question of whether the government is going to default. That's really where you more see investors have a visceral reaction.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth tells hundreds of military officials about directives for troops that include male-level standards for physical fitness, as well as an end to woke culture in the military. Speaking at today's event, President Trump revealed that he wants to use American cities as training grounds for the armed forces, vowing to head to Chicago next. And he told the large crowd of generals,
"If you want to applaud, you applaud. And if you want to do anything you want, you can do anything you want. And if you don't like what I'm saying, you can leave the room. Of course, there goes your rank, there goes your future."
The federal law enforcement crackdown is underway in Memphis. CBS's Nicole Skanga says it began early this morning.
Federal law enforcement soft launched almost a test case federal task force in Memphis. 9 arrests were made, including 4 immigration-related arrests conducted by ICE. 2 illegal guns were seized, but this is going to grow. U.S. Marshals Service is the lead agency there, but roughly a dozen federal law enforcement agencies are being sent to the Tennessee City.
One journalist is hospitalized after federal agents shoved 2 photographers in a hall outside a New York City immigration court. CBS News New York's Ali Bauman reports from Manhattan's Federal Plaza.
This incident comes days after an ICE officer was seen on camera pushing a woman to the ground at the same courthouse last week after her husband was detained at his hearing. The Department of Homeland Security initially relieved that officer of his duties Friday, calling the conduct beneath the men and women of ICE. But CBS News has learned that officer was reinstated.
Sean Diddy Combs' request for an acquittal on his 2 prostitution-related convictions for a new trial has been denied. And Taiwan's lead tariff negotiator says the country will not agree to making 50% of its semiconductors in the U.S. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9. WXCO.
The Bucks add coffee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks introduced their new 6'7" forward, Amir Coffee, at their media day. Coffee played for Bucks head coach Doc Rivers when the two were together at the LA Clippers.
I got on the phone with Doc and we had a couple good conversations. And, I felt comfortable with the decision I made to come here and, start back up with him.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, unable to attend, he's still in Greece with COVID and was asked on a Zoom call, how's he doing after playing in the European League this summer?
Me personally, I'm feeling good. My confidence is in the all-time high right now. Can't wait to, get on the court with the guys and try to represent the team in the best way possible.
Baseball, the Cubs host the Padres in the wild card playoffs. The winner of that 3-game series will face the Brewers in the National League Divisional Playoffs in Milwaukee on Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plentiful clouds in the overnight and a light east breeze will start off your Wednesday morning and the first day of October in the mid-50s. For your afternoon, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the mid and upper 70s. Thursday, though, sunshine returns. It's 60 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow. On Wednesday, we'll make some news about the 2026 election in the 7th Congressional District up north, and we'll meet our new newsletter editor, Ellie Bordeaux.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today in the 5 o'clock hour with Maggie Dawn, not only will she have another keyword for you for our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest, but she's going to be talking to Luke Baumgartner, a repeat guest from George Washington University, and they're going to talk about online radicalization and extremism.
Okay.
With an emphasis on Antifa. Should be a very interesting discussion. Join Maggie Dawn. Her show starts at 4. That's into the 5 o'clock hour. Okay. Right now, we are delighted to be joined, excuse me, by State Senator.
You make us verklempt, State Senator.
Also, yes. State Senator Kelda Royce is here. Good morning, Senator. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Great to be with you again.
Well, you made your announcement on our friend and colleague Todd Albus program that you were jumping into the race for governor. So, Senator, for people who may not know much about you, and tell us a little bit about Kelda Royce.
Well, I was born in Marshfield and spent my early years in rural Taylor County, which if you're not familiar, it's north of Highway 29. My family lived in a one-room schoolhouse that my parents remodeled after it was vacant for many years. I now represent the Dane County area in the Wisconsin State Senate, where I serve on the Budget Committee. I also previously served in the State Assembly, where I helped fight against Act 10. I'm an attorney and a small business owner, mom and stepmom of five, and I was the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin. So I have been in the fight here for Wisconsin alongside all of you and your listeners for 25 years.
It's 25 years, really?
Yeah.
I've done nothing with my life, folks. I'm going to see you later. I'll be like,
oh, come on. No, getting the word out is probably the most important thing we can be doing. We need to connect with each other. And that's what you do every day.
Well, we are living in such divided times, Senator Royce. How do you come in as governor and try and get things done and appeal to everyone? What would be your first priority if you were elected governor, do you think?
Well, my first and only priority is making sure that Wisconsin is a place where every single family, no matter who you are or where you're from, that you have the freedom to thrive. And, you know, certainly it's about making sure people have good paying jobs that don't just pay the bills, but let you actually build the life you want, right? Give your kids the future you want. Making sure we have affordable housing and childcare, that everyone has access to good health care. And reinvesting in our public schools that have really gotten shortchanged over the last generation. So those are key priorities. And I think, you know, there's so much emphasis on the things that divide us. And that's a really cynical thing that I think the right wing has done with our politics. But when you actually listen to people and you travel all over the state, as I have,
right,
you know, for more than 20 years, mm-hmm, you find that we've got a lot in common. People really do want the same things. And the policies that I'm supporting are not controversial. They are supported by the vast majority of Wisconsinites. They want someone who can get it done.
Well, and I think, and we've talked about this a lot, especially when it comes to public schools, most people love their own public school. There is this perception it's that other public school that's the problem. But I like my kids' teachers. I like my kids, you know. And so I do think that there's wide support for public schools if it's in your own backyard.
You're absolutely right. You know, and the reality is that the vast majority of kids in the state go to public school, and it shouldn't matter how wealthy your parents are, you know, what kind of neighborhood you could afford to live in, you know, how rural your community is. You deserve a great public school. And we need to focus not just on making sure that teachers have the resources they need and schools do too, but also that our kids are equipped to thrive. So it's not just more money, but it's actually better schools for our kids.
It's really disturbing to me. And I want to say this goes back at least 20 years that we expect teachers to pay out of their own pocket for school supplies. When did this become so normalized that we just don't have the money to give paper and rulers to our kids?
Right. You know, and I think about every August, I'm always in a mad dash to get school supplies for my kids. And, you know, I try to get as many things off those teacher wish lists as possible. I send my kids with extra supplies because I know there are families out there that can't, you know, that will really break the bank for them. And the reality is, this is why I've been such a champion for healthy school meals for all, right? Because every kid will do better and learn better if they have good, nutritious, healthy food. That a lot of it can come right from our own farmers here in Wisconsin. This is a win-win. And think about the burden that that takes off of working parents, right? Even if you can afford all the grocery costs, you know, trying to get your kids fed is really important. And school supplies is one piece of that. But we don't expect firefighters or police officers to spend thousands of dollars on their training, you know, to go to extra schooling, to buy all their own supplies, to, you know, chip in for the fire engine.
Right.
And yet we somehow have normalized this with teachers. And when we see now ICE agents being recruited, people that have been rejected from police forces all over the country, people that are not qualified to be in the military, and they're being offered six-figure salaries and massive bonuses. Oof, that's a kick in the gut to the teachers.
Absolutely. And I want to take the education component and attach it to something bigger. And I want to reference something that when you came to our show a couple months ago speaking about the Wisconsin state budget and the news had come out, Senate, your colleague, Senator Hesselbein, got in the room, talked to Republicans, Governor Evers signed it. It seemed like we're like, oh, here we go. And you came on our show and you're like, no. And I was like, oh, no, what happened? And really, I want to thank you and also Representative Hong for being so vocal. And there were others, too. But the two of you being so vocal on what you did not like about this budget. It passed. It needed to pass. We didn't want to go back to old spending. But I guess the question I have for you is your non-support of this budget, what are you going to do in the governor's office when you get your mind around the budget as far as being governor? How are you going to fight for the things that you feel we all as Wisconsinites need in the next biennium?
Well, for me, it's really about what are our priorities. And the budget is where you show that. And I will say, you know, we've got a lot of good Democrats thinking about running for governor, but I'm the only one that has served on the Finance Committee. And knowledge of that state budget is incredibly important for our next governor, because we're going to have a really short window of time in which to make real change and actually invest in our kids. So for me, it really is looking at the fact that our kids have not gotten an inflationary increase in their schools in a generation, in 15 years. They're still not recovered from the deep and devastating cuts that Scott Walker made. Yep. And, you know, the other piece of it is we are shoveling billions of dollars of our taxpayer money to private, unaccountable voucher schemes, you know, and private education is fine, but taxpayers shouldn't be footing the bill. And the vast majority of families that are taking advantage of those vouchers are people whose kids were already in private school.
Yep.
The parents were paying, and now the taxpayers are footing the bill for wealthy people who want to send their kids often to religious schools. And I think, you know, that offends a lot of Wisconsinites, because we know that every kid deserves a great public school, but we can't continue to fund two school systems, especially when we've been shortchanging our public school kids.
If you're just joining us, State Senator Kayle DeRoys is our guest. She is running for governor of Wisconsin. And there is a tracker about how much we spend on public and private schools.
Yes, the Wisconsin, I want to get the actual name correct here. It is the I'm sorry. You put me on the spot.
Yeah, I surprised him with
that. I will get it in the show notes. It's a tracker from the Wisconsin Education Action Network. If I'm getting that name wrong, I apologize. But what they do is they allow you to drop down into your specific school district and find out how much of your tax dollars are being siphoned. And I'm using that word siphoned deliberately into the voucher program. And another thing too, State Senator, it's not only people who children are already in those schools, but it's also to families who can certainly afford those schools too. So they're getting free education.
Well, and the piece that blows my mind the most is that there is no oversight body for these schools. They don't have to report to a higher standard. There's no one overseeing their graduation rates, their curriculum rates. They don't have to do the same kind of reporting that public schools do. And yet we're giving them taxpayer money. I don't understand.
And they don't have to follow the same laws either. Right. I mean, you know, these private schools, they can discriminate against students.
Against anybody.
Can you imagine? Against teachers in the employment context, and their teachers don't have to have the same kinds of licensure and educational requirements. And so... You know, again, I think parents can make whatever choice they want to, but the idea that taxpayers should simply foot the bill for wealthy families to send their kids to private school just doesn't pass the smell test.
This has been tried in numerous other states. I want to say Arkansas jumped in big on school vouchers. I believe Arkansas has also done the same. And there have been reports about this, specifically about the number of people who, as you pointed out, Senator, can afford private schools, already had their kids in private schools. They were paying for it. The vast majority of these people are the ones who are getting the benefits, who don't need them.
Right. And I think about the fact that all of us want our kids to have a great education. I mean, we want our kids to have more opportunities than we did. It starts with our public schools, and our kids deserve that investment.
And I think something going back to what you said, Jane, too, people love their public schools. They love them so much that they vote to raise their own property taxes for them. And I've said this before, and I will continue to say this. I do not have children. I do not have a direct stake in my public school system in Kenosha. But I voted to raise my taxes because I understand the effect, impact, and the long-term investment of having good schools in your community and how it comes back to benefit you as a taxpayer. So I voted yes. It did not go through because I think, honestly, some taxpayers are saying, why do I have to keep doing this? And it's, as both of you were saying, is because it's been systematically choked out and suffocated by one side of the aisle, who, by the way, and I always say this to Robin Voss, if you're listening, the greatest increase in a generation doesn't mean anything to me when you barely gave them any money in the first place. When you give them 10 bucks one year and you give them 15, that's not worth bragging about. And that's what you did to education, including 0K-12 increases. So, sorry, let me take a moment.
They dug a 10-foot hole. They threw 3-4 feet of dirt in and gave themselves a pat on the back.
Exactly.
Give them a break.
Yep.
Right? Well, let's be honest about what's happening. And the property tax thing is real. These divisive cycles of referendums and forcing school districts and frankly our local governments to go to taxpayers and say, please raise your own taxes. That is really unfair. And it pits neighbor against neighbor because property taxes are too high in the state because of Republican policies. Republican politicians have hoarded billions of dollars at the state level. They have left revenue on the table by keeping cannabis illegal. Meanwhile, other states have legalized it. They have shoveled our tax dollars to vouchers and to big corporations and the wealthy, and are shortchanging our kids and forcing you, property taxpayers and homeowners and renters, to foot the bill. And it's just not okay.
Well, and I think the biggest example, at least for me, on how the government has not been adequately funding municipalities, the city of Brookfield had to do this, people. The city of Brookfield had to bring a referendum. Brookfield is a pretty wealthy community, and even they were like, yeah, we don't have enough money. This has been a problem. We're going to continue our conversation with Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce. She is running for governor of our great state. We'll continue our conversation on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
When I asked Scott Lucky if his last name had anything to do with his success in the trucking industry, he laughed and said, "Well, Mike, I guess you could say I've always been lucky." But when I asked him how he and his family grew Lucky Distribution Services into the company it is today, he didn't talk about luck at all. "We work hard," he said. "We keep a close eye on the bottom line, and we treat our people the right way." In other words, Scott Lucky makes his own luck, which is precisely why he switched to Pure Talk Business. "Last month, I paid the big guys $740 for 12 lines," he told me. "This month, I paid Pure Talk $420 for the exact same service." Thousands of businesses all over the country are saving real money by switching to America's most dependable 5G network, and luck has nothing to do with it. Just dial #250 and say micro. That's #250 micro to switch to a wireless company that works as hard as you do. Pure Talk.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know 1 out of 5 adults worry about their mental health? It's Suicide Prevention Month, and talking saves lives. Call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget our multi-state text win. Go for the Green and Gold contest is underway every day. We're playing for $200 in cash.
Oh, boy.
A lot of folks, we could all use an extra $200 right now in gold jewelry.
I could really use some gold jewelry.
I know. And then a great grand prize. Your next chance to enter via the Civic Media app only is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman. So stick around for that. Right now, we are joined by State Senator Kelda Royce, who has her hat in the ring to run for Wisconsin governor.
And State Senator, I saw an opinion piece come across the Cap Times 2 days ago from John Nichols, and this applies to the congressional race for Tom Tiffany's seat as far as his running. But I think this applies to what you are talking about, especially from where you come from, which is the title is Democrats Should Fight for the North. And I think that in the past few years, people have realized, oh, Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay aren't the only Democrats who vote. I think we've seen an importance of finding out what those folks out in the North, it meant not even if they're Democrats, just what people are talking about, because they can get left behind, because people, Democrats, can sometimes say, farmers, they'll never vote for me.
Why should I go there?
Rural people, they'll never vote for me. So you're from the North, and you hear those conversations. What do you hear from those individuals? And tell the listeners why it is important to fight for the northern area of Wisconsin.
I think we need to fight for everyone in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. no matter who you are or where you're yes. from. And there are a lot of people out there who are struggling that have been betrayed by Donald Trump and by Republicans in Washington. And they have every reason to be angry and upset, because he promised to lower costs, and everything that he has done has stabbed them in the back, right? He's raising costs. The tariff taxes are costing families thousands of dollars more in added costs for items. Our farmers are suffering. Meanwhile, he's spending $20 billion to bail out an Argentinian dictator and help their soybean farmers who are competing against ours, who now can't sell their soybeans to China because of retaliatory tariffs and the chaos Trump is causing. So there's a lot out there. There are people who will vote for us. They will listen to us, but we have to go and show up. And, you know, I think we have to, the tone sometimes that Democrats use to campaign, I think is real off-putting to people. And you have to be willing to welcome people who think differently from you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a, you know, Midwestern value is like, we take care of our neighbors and then, but we don't get up in their business. And
that's right. Yes.
And I think sometimes, you know, Democrats, or especially like on the left, you get a little bit of, you know, telling people a little bit how to live and how to think. And I just, you know, that's never been my deal. Yeah. I just, I'm really a live and let live kind of person. I want you to have healthcare, whether you like me or not. And I want your kids to have a good school, and I want your roads to be well paved so you can get your, you know, milk to the cheese plant, regardless of whether you vote for me or not. And I think, you know, we've kind of, we need to show up in these places, and we need to listen carefully to what people are saying. And they have every right to be angry, and we can help them.
Well, and I would like to think that over the last couple of years, and especially when we had Ben Wickler as the head of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, there did seem to be a lot more outreach and a lot more people on the ground in some of these areas where maybe Democrats would not have traditionally campaigned. So I do think that there's more, right? There's been a greater effort to try and do some groundwork there.
And when you see our rural areas in Wisconsin, they are not as red as in other kind of similar states. And there is, remember, Wisconsin has a great history of being a progressive state. Mm-hmm. So a state that really has fought back against billionaires and barons and, you know, the kind of corrupt politics that we are seeing now out of Washington. Wisconsin was one of the first places to fight back and say, no, people actually deserve power in our political system, not big corporations, not dollars. And I think we can do that again. We can reclaim that mantle and invest in our communities, and especially in rural communities that have really been left behind.
I think you bring up a very important point, too, in, as far as when it comes to Democratic politics, the inflexibility that they can show towards those who disagree with them. And then we'll have sometimes the temerity to say, well, the Republicans are so inflexible and immutable. Well, we all have our own biases. And it's a time right now, especially in these times, to sit back and listen to people tell us about their problems and why they think the way they do. We can't promise to change our minds, but what you can do is promise at least to listen.
And I learned this, you know, being on the front lines of the abortion rights movement, you know, in my early 20s, right? I got to hear from so many different people who had a wide range of opinions about abortion, but I never shied away from going on Fox News or going on Christian radio, because I think it's really important to say, I respect the fact that you disagree with me on this. It's okay to have deeply held beliefs that are different from me. I've got my values, and, you know, I don't want to regulate what's going on in your life. And here's why I don't want this to be regulated, because it is personal.
Right? Absolutely.
It shouldn't be the government. And you can win people on that argument, even if they disagree.
State Senator Gail DeRoys running for Wisconsin governor. You have many, many, many months ahead, I'm sure. We would love to have you back, of course. Thank you so much for your time, Senator. We really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
Have a good day. News is coming up next, and then we're going to lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
CBS News special report. The government is about to run out of funding at midnight Eastern time, leading to a partial government shutdown. This after the Senate voted down competing Democratic and Republican proposals to keep funds flowing. Senate Republican leader John Thune is trying to peel off a few Democratic votes.
There are others out there, I think, who don't want to shut down the government, but are being put in a position by their leadership that ought to make all of them very uncomfortable.
Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We want to sit down and negotiate. But the Republicans can't do it in their partisan way, where they just say it's our way or the highway.
CBS's Erica Brown tells us what happens next.
A government shutdown would mean non-essential government services would be disrupted. The White House has also threatened mass firings at some federal agencies.
Agencies have been told to activate their plans for an orderly shutdown by the White House Budget Office. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Bucks add coffee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks introduced their new 6'7" forward, Amir Coffee, at their media day. Coffee played for Bucks head coach Doc Rivers when the two were together at the LA Clippers.
I got on the phone with Doc and we had a couple good conversations. And, I felt comfortable with the decision I made to come here and, start back up with him.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, unable to attend, he's still in Greece with COVID and was asked on a Zoom call, how's he doing after playing in the European League this summer?
Me personally, I'm feeling good. My confidence is in an all-time high right now. Can't wait to, get on the court with the guys and try to represent the team in the best way possible.
Baseball, the Cubs host the Padres in the wild card playoffs. The winner of that three-game series will face the Brewers in the National League Divisional Playoffs in Milwaukee on Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Have you heard of Tilly Norwood? If not, you probably will be hearing more about this AI actress in the near future. AI is becoming more of an issue in the entertainment business. It was a big point of contention during the recent Screen Actors Guild strike. Tilly is the creation of Aileen Vandervelden, a Dutch actor, director, and physicist. That's a rare combo. She is the founder of Particle 6, a video production company that makes AI. Vandervelden says Tilly is even being looked at by acting agencies for representation and has her own Instagram account, the AI with the IA. As you can imagine, the Hollywood acting community is not happy about this creation. According to Yahoo News, the Screen Actors Guild says Tilly is not a real actor, as she has no real-life experiences to draw from, and that AI devalues human artistry. My question is Tilly really even a she? Not sure if she can be compared to a real actor or if she is more like animation. This will get more interesting and or contentious real soon, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Roddy Price. Plentiful clouds in the overnight and a light east breeze will start off your Wednesday morning and the first day of October in the mid-50s. For your afternoon, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the mid and upper 70s. Thursday, though, sunshine returns. It's 60 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
The borders are. Tom Homan was investigated for accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents.
50 grand in a fast food bag as a payoff. If Kamala Harris would have accepted a fast food bag full of fast food, it would have been congressional hearings, yes. 24 hours on every network that hated them.
It's corruption palooza, man. Yeah.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on, Across the Network, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8 p.m. Not only will Pete have a word for you in our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest, he'll have that word for you in the 7 o'clock hour. Tonight, Pete is joined by entertainment writer Chris Foran, and also at 7:20, he's joined by Just a Bit Outside director Sean Hamish, and they're going to talk about his latest project, No Packers, No Life.
Yes, I want to hear.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. And Jane, do you know who Pete Schwabe from Nightlight is having on his show tomorrow, Wednesday at 6:35? Do you have any idea who that possibly could be?
Would it be you?
No, I was actually asking. I wanted to know. No, it's going to be me. I'll be on the show tomorrow at 6:35 talking about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, which kicks off unofficially on Monday with the Roast of Milwaukee.
Oh, that's so
hosted
great.
Hosted by our friend Kristen Bry again.
That's awesome.
And then starting officially on Tuesday with Aparnanon Sherla, Sean Patton, who just is on an FX show called English Teacher that just premiered its second season. We have Punky Johnson, formerly of SNL, as one of our headliners. And this, for me, is the GOAT, the reason I do comedy. Patton Oswalt is headlining at
You're
the Pabst.
You're so excited,
yes,
aren't
I am
you?
Very excited. I just got goosebumps again. So I'll be talking more about that with Pete Schwabe on Nightlight. We'll talk more about it on the coming days. But, yeah, it's tomorrow night, 6:35. If you want to hear more about it, tune in to Nightlight, 6 to 8, with Pete Schwabe. And you can listen on the Civic Media app if you're just not near terrestrial radio.
Yeah, exactly. We make it easy for
you.
Yeah. All right, this is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we like to lighten things up, take a break from the news-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is slightly news. This is news adjacent, we'll say.
News-esque.
News-esque. Bad Bunny has been announced as the Super Bowl act for this year's Super Bowl. Bad Bunny, of course, of native of Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. territory.
He is basically a citizen.
He is essentially a citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a floating pile of trash, Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah. Not everyone is happy about Bad Bunny being tapped as the entertainment for this year's upcoming Super Bowl, which just got us talking about Super Bowl halftime shows. And here's the question for Audio Sorbet.
Indeed.
What was your favorite halftime show?
Yeah.
And you can go back as far as you want.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show? 855-752-4842. Favorite Super Bowl halftime show? Lots of them to choose from. Mm-hmm.
I also have a Rolling Stone article here that was put out last year of the ranked worst to best. So I see where they land on the list
as interesting.
Well. But
how far back does that go?
It goes back to 37. So there's been 37 halftime shows.
Okay.
It does not include Kendrick Lamar. This came out after the Super Bowl in 2024. So he's not on this list anywhere, period.
Okay.
But I would say he's top five or top three for me personally. I thought that performance was amazing
from
start to finish. But yeah, I will say I being a petty boy.
Okay.
I enjoy healthy doses of Schadenfreude. I will say that the reaction to Bad Bunny when I saw it, I was like, oh, the NFL is just trolling them now, because they have been complaining for years. I don't like this. This isn't for me.
It's not American.
It's not American.
Why
can't we get some metal music in there? Really?
I thought they were just going to get Lee Greenwood for the next 20 years.
Oh, my God. So it did give me great excitement because I know this will be the most Puerto Rican thing that's ever happened on American television, and I cannot wait for it. I want every ounce of that performance to be in Spanish.
It will be.
And I can't wait because as to me personally, it would be very easy for the NFL. And just full disclosure, Jay-Z is actually one of the people who puts together.
It's his entertainment company.
Correct. But they have to get it approved by the NFL. I'm sure they're not going to be like Bad Bunny, deal with it. So the NFL could do that, Jane. They could have easily said, Lee Greenwood is our guy until he's gone, and we're going to have nothing but America and the whatever country music represents as far as that goes. But they don't. They modernize something that can be easily kept stale.
Well, and Bad Bunny is one of the biggest recording artists in the world.
Correct.
Right now. He's huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. He is gigantic. He is hosting this weekend Saturday Night Live for the second time. So he has got important. He is an important figure in culture. He
is
very talented. He's open-minded in his politics. He's very progressive in what he believes in. And I think all of those things, put them in a blender and pour it out, and that just makes people who just want football to be football for me in America just so scared.
It's 15 minutes, right?
Exactly.
It's a 15-minute show.
Not only that, when people say, like, I won't watch it, I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I don't watch the Super Bowl generally. I watch the commercials the next day.
855-752-4842. What was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show? 855-75-CIVIC. Barb from Waukesha texting in Lady Gaga.
Yep.
She came from the top, right?
I believe so, yeah.
She came from the top of the stadium.
I think so, yeah.
That was pretty, I remember that. That was pretty crazy.
Somebody, I'm looking for it right now. Said earlier, they sent us a text earlier in the show. This is buried in all the text words. Prince, and that is one of the most legendary because he played Purple Rain in the rain.
And I'm sure Prince had that
exactly
arranged.
He just looked
that it would be raining so he could do that.
I don't have to stop and think. This is from Rosemary and Aleva or Aleva. I apologize. I don't know the name of it. But I don't have to stop and think. Best Super Bowl halftime show was Prince, all caps, exclamation point, times three. Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful
great
sight.
Show.
Yeah. There are just really good performances. And I also really like it when old versus old and new come together. Old, like, you know, you have like 50 years of rap music on stage between all these rappers a couple of years ago. I think that's very cool. But you modernize this part of it, there's nothing wrong with that. You also want to attract viewers.
And he's a big deal.
He's a huge deal.
Bad Bunny is a big deal. What was your favorite Super Bowl act? 855-752-4842. Carol from Waukesha. Calvin, we have a clip from this guy. Carolyn Waukesha says her favorite Super Bowl halftime show, and this is mine as well. Little Bruno Mars. Can we hear that, please? It was a great show, I thought.
The halftime show?
The halftime show with Bruno Mars.
When you get a man like Bruno Mars on that stage who is designed specifically in a lab somewhere to entertain us.
Oh, it was great.
There's no way this isn't going to be good. Even if all the microphones went out, they'd be like, he still was great.
Carol, you and I are on the same page. Bruno Mars, fantastic, fantastic halftime show. Yeah. Who was your favorite? 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Richard. Thanks for joining us. Who was your favorite halftime show performer?
Well, I'm a little back in time, but I thought Paul McCartney had a great show.
There you go.
Oh,
let's see.
Yes.
I'll find him on the list.
I had forgotten about that. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.
Number 14 on the list of 37. He was in 2005. Yeah, that's a great, solid. Everyone can get behind that one.
McCartney?
That's
for sure.
Great. Yeah.
But he's not American.
Oh, he's not American. Oh, actually, I take that back. They updated this list. Kendrick Lamar is number 13. You're right. He's not American. He's
English.
Pre-America. We call him pre-America. Right. Calvin, do you have anybody on that you remember that strikes a chord, strikes your fancy that you enjoyed?
Yeah. See, the one that's sticking out to me, and it's not because I enjoyed it or I particularly... It was particularly amazing, but it's just because of the memes that came out of it. But Katy Perry, with the shark costume guy. There was other memes that was came out of that performance as
that
well.
Was the baby shark thing
2015 and she scored above Kendrick Lamar. I call BS. Boo. Oh yeah, Lady Gaga did float from the top, of course, looking all Lady Gaga-ish, but yeah, though, I mean, that's the you it's have to get really big. It's a spectacle.
It's a spectacle.
And that's what Bad Bunny's going to bring to it. And I'm just telling all you folks out there who are like, I don't like Bad Bunny because I like America and English. Give yourself a moment. Close your eyes. Let your foot bounce. Let your hips shake.
Let the music move you, baby.
Have some chip and dip. Enjoy the show. It's 15 minutes.
Sue from Franklin, the sad texting in on WAUK. The sad part is how many people, the current administration included, don't understand that Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Yes, Sue.
Oh, they do not.
You've got a point
I
there.
Guarantee
yes,
you they do not.
Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory.
Yeah, they vote in our elections. They're not counted, but they still vote in their elections, and they can sign up for our military and pay taxes and things like that. They are Americans.
855-752-4842 for audio sorbet today. We are talking about your favorite Super Bowl performers. Who was your favorite when you look back over all the years? I also really enjoyed J-Lo and Shakira.
Oh, let's
from
see.
Just a couple of years ago.
J-Lo and Shakira. Let's see where they. Oh, yeah, that was two. That's number six, 2020.
I thought they were amazing. Amazing.
Beyonce in 2013, where she had Destiny's Child reunite for that. I mean, Goosebumps again, Jane. Goosebumps again. I love Destiny's Child.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. I love Destiny's Child, especially the trio iteration. That to me, that's the classic lineup. Yeah, that's Kelly, Michelle, Beyonce. Bed, Bath, and Beyonce.
Ronnie and Horicon. Oh, my gosh. Prince.
Mm-hmm.
All in caps as far as best Super Bowl halftime shows. PJ in the live stream says the same thing. Prince was my favorite.
He is number one on the list. And also one that if you just want to feel some feels, when America had a modicum of unity, U2's Super Bowl performance after 9/11, where they ran the names of those who'd perished, and he had an American flag as like in his jacket, and like just it's the performance is everything. Bono just gives it all, and if I'm not mistaken, it's pretty sparse because I think that's what they wanted. They didn't want something big, but the way they pay tribute to those we lost is, oh.
Liz from Saukville texting in, she said essentially the same thing. She said, Prince and you two, I can't pick between the two of those.
I won't make you.
So who was on, what was the final list that they came up with?
Do you want to know like who's number one or who's number 37?
Let's start at number 10 and go up.
Number 10 is... Let's go here. Lady Gaga in 2017. Number 9, I'm sorry to say this, you're going to not like this. Madonna in 2012. Okay, get over it.
That was the worst cartwheel I've ever seen in my entire life, although I have never been able to do one, so just ignore me. Continue.
You never saw me do a cartwheel in second grade.
I can't do it.
Rihanna in 2023, who was pregnant at the time and just looked to be like, I'm here. That was interesting. Number 7, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in 2009.
Okay.
Number 6, Shakira and Jennifer Lopez.
They were great.
Yep. Number 5 is Aerosmith, Britney Spears. 4, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Beyonce, U2, and Prince.
And there we go.
There you go. That's your list. Look forward to having Bad Bunny back in the country doing some fun stuff.
When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. There's No Law for That edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Step right up. Circus history is alive in Wisconsin.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. There wouldn't be school. The stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus.
A big part of the circus, the wagons. And now what's believed to be the last bell wagon anywhere is at Circus World in Baraboo. Commissioned by the Ringlings in 1892, this 10,000-pound rolling musical instrument was the crown jewel of the circus parades.
Those parade wagons, circus parades would have to get people excited to come see the circus. And so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carving.
That's Jennifer Kronk. She's the curator of history at Circus World. Three other unique wagons owned by Feld Entertainment in Florida are also on loan for the next couple of years. It's a slice of Wisconsin and circus history right here, where you can relive the glory of the parade and echo of the bells calling you to the big top. I'm Terry Barr.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before the break, we were talking about Bad Bunny has been announced as the new Super Bowl halftime show. So we were talking about some of your favorite prior Super Bowl halftime shows. What was your favorite? I just wanted to get this one in from Chuck from East Troy. James Brown and ZZ Top from 1997.
Is that even in the list? My goodness.
That was the Packers Super Bowl in 97.
Okay.
We'll have to look back for that one.
New Kids on the Block.
Oh, wow. Ugh. So anyway, thank you for taking part in that. Want to remind you, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman is your next chance to enter our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Daily prize all the rest of this week, $200 in cash and gold jewelry. We can all use a little spiff right now. An extra $200.
Yeah.
That'll help.
I want to tell myself I'd spend $200 on myself and something fun, but I know it would just be
buy something for the house,
pay a bill, buy groceries. Yeah.
There's a lot of folks who could use some grocery help. So Tom Hartman will have the next word for you in the 11 o'clock hour. You have to use the app in order to enter, so make sure you download the Civic Media app. He'll have another word for you at 1 p.m.
Then with Todd at 3 o'clock, Maggie at 5, and Pete Schwabba at 7 o'clock tonight. And then starts all again tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour with Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Coming up for us tomorrow, Darren Von Ruden is going to be here. He is joining us monthly, and he is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Association.
Farmers Union.
Farmers Union, thank you. Tariffs. We're going to talk tariffs.
Talking tariffs, we're talking shutdown, we're talking about his trip to D.C. He does, I believe, a quarterly trip to D.C. where he and his colleagues go there to talk to lawmakers. Our lawmakers. We find out what he's discussing there as well.
So join us. Darren Von Ruden will be here tomorrow morning in hour number two. Right now, though, Calvin, it's 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one. This is from CBS News. Tim Fang with the byline. The headline reads, Bay Area police pull over Waymo robo-taxi during DUI operation.
Okay.
A police department in the San Francisco Bay Area said over the weekend they had to deal with an unusual circumstance, pulling over a driverless vehicle for a moving violation. San Bruno Police Department were conducting a DUI enforcement operation when they saw this robo-taxi making an illegal U-turn right in front of them at a light. So the officer pulled over the vehicle and there was no one there.
I feel like if you are the police officer in that moment, you get to throw down your stuff and say, dude, I'm going home. Like, it's just what's happening right now?
The department posted on social media. That's right. No driver, no hands, no clue. Since there was no human driver, they couldn't issue a ticket.
Can they issue a ticket to the people driving the car from somewhere else?
They say their citation books do not have a box for robot. Waymo, a subsidiary of Google parent company Alphabet, was contacted. A spokesperson says the self-driving vehicle is designed to respect the rules of the road. We're looking into this, and we're committed to improving road safety through our ongoing learnings and experience. I don't think that's
right. No, that's right. That makes sense. Learnings. Okay. Yeah. Two things my head goes to. One, this is a nice piece of information. It's a prime example of why the robots will not take over, because if they can't even drive correctly, then they're not going to be able to take over the world and make us their underlings. Also, I just think they're just going to program the car next time to go into high-speed chase mode.
And they'll just take off. Police say there is legislation in the works that will allow officers to issue notices to driverless car companies. San Bruno, among several communities where Waymo is in operation, their self-driving robo-taxis also operate in San Francisco. They plan to launch service to the San Francisco International Airport and the San Jose International Airport in the coming months. I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to wait for my first robo-taxi ride.
I would rather take a taxi ride from somebody who disregarded my request for a quiet ride, because at least I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I can't do drive. Just no. Sorry.
They're not ready yet.
Yeah. And also,
they're not ready yet.
Imagine if you're the passenger in that car. It makes an illegal U-turn and gets pulled over. You're like, I'm late now.
Well, what if you're in that car and you make an illegal turn and you get broadsided?
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No. More like way less, am I right?
Oh, there we go. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. Tom Hartman on the way. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
are listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano in Washington, where funding to run the federal government has just expired and the government shutdown is beginning.
On this vote, the yeas are 55 and the nays are 45.
The Senate vote rejecting a Republican funding plan just as it failed to pass a Democratic plan. President Trump's take.
A lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want, and they'd be Democrat things.
As the midnight deadline approached, House Speaker Mike Johnson suggested to reporters that no late-night negotiations are taking place. The Department of Veterans Affairs says VA health care will not be affected, but volunteer Army veteran Tracy Riley worries other long-term services will be hurt.
I believe that we're going to have families thrown into even more harsh poverty levels than the military currently has.
Correspondent Caitlin Huey Burns looks at other widespread effects.
In a shutdown.